thank Brother Dwayne for his prayer and you for praying as well on our behalf this evening. The title of the message this evening is Living Today Like There Is No Tomorrow. Charlie Brown is at bat and strikes out again. As he trudges back to the bench, he laments, "Rats, I'll never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but I know I'll never make it." And Lucy turns to console him and says, "Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set some more immediate goals. See if you can walk out to the mound without falling down." Could it be that in our lives, we need to focus more on immediate goals? Certainly there is a place for keeping in mind the big picture. It's important to remember that God is at work in accomplishing more than what meets the eye at the present time. It's of necessity that we keep in mind concerning our spiritual lives that a lost battle is not a lost war. But still, we need to live a day at a time. We are responsible for now, how we act, how we think, how we respond, how we love, how we forgive, how we live as a believer. We are not responsible for tomorrow until tomorrow becomes today. And sometimes the ultimate goals for life may be somewhat overwhelming, and we may feel like we're not sure if we're going to quite make it or if we're going to get there. But the truth of the matter is that we must first accomplish the immediate goals of today and then the goals of each new day that we are given. And therefore, the need for our focus to be on now, today. Live today like there's no tomorrow. Over in Matthew chapter 6, just want to read a few verses there. It's beginning at verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, Jesus is not saying, don't worry about tomorrow, but it's okay, you can worry about today. That's not what he means there. Rather, the thought is that if there's enough to deal with just today, there's enough of temptations, there's enough of trials, there's enough of struggles, there's enough opportunities to deal with, that we don't need to add worry on top of it. It's not that we don't plan or make any provisions for tomorrow, yet in the end, we still must leave tomorrow with God. He gives grace to us to live this day. And he'll only give grace for tomorrow when it becomes today. Do you believe that? He'll only give grace for tomorrow when it becomes today. We need to focus on living today right and live today like there's no tomorrow. Another verse that carries that kind of thought with it is Proverbs 27, verse 1, where it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, with the idea that we should live today like there is no tomorrow. And then over in James 4, I'm going to read several verses there, beginning at verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that." Again, it's okay to plan as long as we do under the guiding lordship of Jesus Christ. But still, the overriding point is that we should live today. Live today. the right way and live like there's no tomorrow. And that leads us to a question. How are we going to accomplish that? How do we accomplish living today the right way? And I believe Psalm 62 gives us some help there. It was written by David in the midst of his troubles that he was experiencing. Yet we can find some help there and some principles to apply in living day by day or living today right. And you may want to keep your Bibles open there to Psalm 62 as we look at some of those verses. But the first verse says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." The word "waiteth" there means stillness. It's the idea of silently. So we can draw from that that each day, if I am going to live today right and live today like there may be no tomorrow, I need to wait silently before God. That means to take time with him. Sometimes it's not saying anything, but allowing him to communicate to us. It also has the idea of patience and not complaining, to wait silently. You know, we need to wait upon God each day. We need to take time with him. And as we go through the day, have an attitude of patience, of not complaining, but allowing God to work through each circumstance of that day. Why? Because it's from him that comes our salvation. That's pretty tough sometimes, isn't it? I got shoe marks on my own shoes after that one. Next, let's consider verses 2 and verses 6. They're very almost identical. In verse 2, "He only is my rock," David is saying, "and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved." In verse 6, he says, "He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be moved." "I shall not be greatly moved," he said in verse 2. And in verse 6, he says, "I shall not be moved." And the idea there is of not wavering, of not being shaken, of not being demoralized. David was expressing a great confidence in God because of who God is. It's interesting that in verse 2, he says, "I shall not be greatly moved." And then in verse 6, as if his confidence had soared, he says, "I won't be moved at all." I ask us, God was David's help and would enable him to stand. I ask us, is God the same today as he was in David's time? For us to live today like there's no tomorrow, we need to wait silently before God. And secondly, we need to cling to the one who doesn't change. Who doesn't change. Notice some of the statements in verses 2 through 7 there in Psalm 62. "He only is my rock and my salvation." We sang about that rock. "He is my defense. For my expectation," in verse 5, "or my hope is from him." Verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory." I'm glorying in serving or in living for God this day. In verse 7, "the rock of my strength and my refuge," or my shelter, my security, my place to go for safety is in God. No matter what is happening as we live this day, God is our salvation, he's our deliverer, our rock, our defense, our shelter, our refuge, our strength, and our hope. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Verse 8 tells us to trust him at all times. Notice the little word "all." In focusing on the immediate goals of today, we need one that we can count on at all times. It doesn't matter what's happening. We can count on him at all times. The rest of that verse, it goes on to say in verse 8, "Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." We need one that we can go to and pour our heart out to. Sometimes we can't do that to an individual here. But to God, We can pour our heart out to God. What a blessing that we can do that. You know, sometimes in pouring out our heart, it's confessing our failures, our sins, sharing our concerns, or admitting our needs and just laying down our burdens, just opening up our heart and saying, God, I need to just pour it all out to you. Because you'll listen. You'll still love me. And I can trust you at all times. In living today like there's no tomorrow, our focus, being on living right today, we need to wait silently before God. Cling to the one who doesn't change. And then thirdly, verse 10, we can back up and read verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. And that's basically confirming verse 8 that we need to trust in God at all times. Him we can, but man, no matter on their position in life, we can't trust in them at all times. There's no one that compares to God. And then in verse 7, he says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So thirdly, in living today like there's no tomorrow, we need to set our hearts at the right place. Implied by that, or in that verse, is that we can choose where our hearts are at. We can choose what or whom we will be loyal to. We can choose what or whom we will be committed to. We have the power of choice. It's a tremendous power that God has granted to us, the power of choice. And as we purpose to live right this day, we must make choices, don't we? We talk about young people making choices, but there isn't a one of us. We all make choices every day. We're going to choose on how I act, on how I respond. Am I going to forgive someone or not? Am I going to show love? We make choices. We're free to choose. And as believers, it's because of Calvary that we're free to choose the right and we're not under the dominion of sin. There's freedom to choose right. Based on that, I'd like to share something that Max Lucado wrote, and I think it applies so much to what we're trying to get across. Living today. He says, it's quiet, it's early, my coffee is hot. The sky is still black, the world is still asleep, the day is coming. In a few moments the day will arrive, it will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. Some of us, it's longer than that, depending on your bedtime. It is now that I must make a choice. Because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so I choose. Now listen to these. Because we all have this the power to do this. He said, I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. Kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot roll the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by my God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek His grace. And then when this day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. Living today. The right way. You know, each day we choose today we can choose to set our heart at the right place. It makes a big difference as to what kind of day we're going to live. That's our choice. Two construction workers took their lunch break. When they opened their lunch boxes, one of them said, "Not another bologna sandwich." I kind of like them sometimes, but I guess if you had them every day, it would get a little old. "Every day it's a bologna sandwich." The other guy said, "Tell your wife to fix you something else." To which he responded, "I'm not married. I make my own sandwiches." You know, the truth of the matter is that much of the baloney, if we want to call it baloney, in our own lives is there because we choose to have it there. Power of choice. We need to set our hearts at the right place. Fourthly, to live today, we need to focus on doing what's right. Or in living today and focusing to do what's right, we need to meet the necessary needs of this day. A key word there is necessary. In living this day right, we need to meet the necessary needs of this day. In the 1800s, there was a Vermont blacksmith who became known for his solid, sturdy workmanship. When word came from the west of vast fields capable of growing produce far in excess of what Vermont could grow, hundreds of people migrated. This blacksmith went with them and soon detected a serious problem. The cast iron plows the pioneers had brought with them from the east didn't work well in the Midwest. The rich Midwestern soil clung to them, and it was necessary every few steps to stop and scrape the soil from the plow. In 1837, through trial and error, the blacksmith designed a plow from a discarded sawmill blade. It was a polished steel plow that cleaned itself as it plowed. He built and sold 10 of them. And then orders came for more and more, and as he manufactured these plows, he kept changing them, causing some to criticize him. But he replied, "If we don't improve our product, somebody else will." By 1868, he was producing 13,000 plows a year in the largest plow factory in the United States. The blacksmith's name was, Brother Fred, John Deere. He was a man who just saw a need and filled it. You know, some days we try to do too much. Some days we don't do enough. But each day it should be our goal to do our best to feel the needs of that day that are necessary to be met. And that spreads out in a lot of ways. Fifthly, living today right, we go back to verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 62. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. That word renderest means rewardeth. So fifthly, I believe we need to remember, God will reward according to our actions, according to our work. May our focus, you know, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the big scheme of things. How am I ever going to get there? When in reality, we need to sit back and we need to take today, and live today the right way. Live it as if there's no tomorrow. Waiting silently before God, clinging to Him because He's the one who doesn't change, setting our heart at the right place and meeting the necessary needs of that day. And it may be just showing the love that we're supposed to show to those that were around. As simple as that, that's a necessary need. And remember that God rewards according to our work. Hank Aaron, a famous baseball player from years gone by, his motto was this. He said, "My motto was always to keep swinging. Whether I was in a slump or feeling badly or having trouble off the field, the only thing to do is keep swinging." Spiritually speaking, may that be our motto. Whether we are struggling or feeling badly or having troubles or going through trials, the only thing to do is to keep living today like there's no tomorrow, and live the next day, if God gives us life, like there's no tomorrow. May God help us to do so.